Hello and welcome to the Knee Pain Guru podcast series. My name is Bill Paravano, and each week on this podcast series we go over different topics and challenges individuals are having with chronic knee pain. This week is going to be another Q&A. We're going to go over, we are at episode, I think, 8. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to go over the standard disclaimer here. None of the information on this call is to be construed as medical advice. This is, if you do have any questions, please consult your licensed healthcare professional. However, this information is what I have used as well as I've used with countless clients over the past 10 or so years to help them get out of chronic knee pain. And this, of course, is under the assumption that nothing is broken or torn, and that if you've had any injury, you've gone to the doctor, you've had it checked out, and you've had an x-ray, CT scan, MRI, and the doctor's giving you a green light and indicating that nothing is broken or torn. And this is also going, the solutions that we're going to talk about here is primarily addressing the body or giving you strategies to get out of knee pain without the use of prescription drugs, painkilling shots, or surgery. And that's not to say sometimes surgery is necessary. It's just that we're going to look at a holistic, comprehensive approach that is sometimes out of the box. So, with that being said, Michael, you ready with the questions?
Yes, sir, if you're ready with the answers.
Okay, we'll see.
Okay, we're getting going here. First one, hi, Bill. Thanks for your coordination. Can you please let me know how to reduce my weight? I'm 48 years old, and my height is 5'6", and weight 69 kilograms. How much weight do I need to lose? Please let me know the easiest way. Also, I'm suffering from knee pain. What are the best and easiest ways to eliminate this knee pain? I am a working woman, purely vegetarian. Thank you, Pauline.
Okay. Well, the approach that I support in terms of getting over knee pain, and especially when someone is overweight, what happens is, and I heard a statistic, there was a doctor that was saying that for every pound you are overweight, it translates to additional 3 or 4 pounds worth of abuse per knee every time you take a step. And just the way the dynamics are of when you walk and you are overweight. So being overweight can contribute to the knee issues that you're dealing with. Another component, and I've talked about in past episodes, is the tensegrity structure, which is goes back to Dr. Stephen Levine, who had did that study at Harvard University, and he had talked about how the body is held together through a series of pulleys that keep it upright. And what he did in this study is he was able to actually get a human skeleton and get it to walk down an inclined plane just by setting up rubber bands in certain patterns in the skeleton, simulating tendons and ligaments. And what happens is when the body takes on this extra weight, it displaces that tension that's in the structure and causing that tensegrity or that ability for the tension to be distributed evenly throughout the body. It causes it to be displaced, and as a result, a lot of the tension gets thrown into the knees and causes the compression of the joint, wearing away at the meniscus, wearing away at the cartilage, and eventually causing the knee pain. So the approach that I suggest, it's called the paleo diet. And the paleo diet is the understanding or the approach that from an evolutionary standpoint, humans are not that we've only been an agrarian society, meaning actually having agriculture, having farms for approximately 10,000 years. And before that, we were hunter-gatherers. So whatever we could find or hunt down, we ate. So when we became an agrarian society approximately 10,000 years ago, we began harvesting grain. And grain is actually seeds that grow at the top of grass. So anything you're looking at, wheat, barley, millet, corn, rice, all of those grains have seed coatings on them. And those seed coatings are designed to keep that grain from being digested by the animals that consume it. So it would pass through the gut of an animal that would eat it, and then it would be able to fertilize or germinate itself in another location. Well, when we grind these grains up, this seed coating, which is perceived by our body as a neurotoxin, irritates the gut lining in our stomachs and in our intestines and causes a low level of inflammation. And this inflammation eventually permeates the gut lining, so it causes a whole sorts of issues. All sorts of issues in the body, and this, there's a lot of scientific studies that are coming out now attributing to consuming grains with autoimmune diseases, chronic pain, joint pain, and especially if you've done something to your knees, it translates into knee pain, not to mention the chronic inflammation that's going on in the body. When you injure your knee, now your body has to do double duty: heal the inflammation in your gut as well as heal what's going on in your knees. This also compounds the fact that it, for me and in my own experience, whenever I eat, I was raised in an Italian family, so we had lots of pastas and breads, which is all wheat, and you kind of get that tired, bloated feeling after you eat, which makes you want to sit around. You don't want to go out and do anything. So there's a tendency to gain weight as a result of that. So from when Pauline says that she's a vegetarian, it makes it a little challenging, especially from a paleo perspective, that you're eating fresh meats, fish, chicken, red meat, things like that. So I would suggest try it out. Cutting out grains and dairy also falls into that category as well, because with the agrarian society came the domestication of animals. So by eliminating dairy and grains, at least in my own experience from my diet, it's made a huge difference in terms of how my body felt, how my body performed as far as the energy that I had. It just made a huge difference. So I would definitely look into that. You can actually go to the website. I have a link to the Paleo Diet book on there, and you can check that out. Now, vegetarians, of course, are different than vegans. So, Pauline, you may look into eggs. If that works for you, eggs are certainly doable, and some vegetarians do eat fish. So those are also optional protein sources as well. And people that I have known that have gone on this diet have done phenomenal, and they've done really, really well with it. So I would check that out.
Yeah, exactly. So you said earlier, every pound you're overweight causes about 3 to 4 more pounds of stress or pressure on the knee, so to speak, than when you're just walking. So obviously that's just going to cause a snowball effect. Basically, if you remain overweight, the more activity you do, I would assume more extra pressure repeatedly would just lead to more trouble down the line if action isn't taken.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals that if you think about it, if you're 100 pounds overweight or 50 pounds overweight, that translates to at least 150 pounds worth of extra pressure per knee. And that's just a lot of abuse that the knee joint takes. I mean, it's not only the knee joint. It's also the hips. It's also the back. It's also your heart. It's also your ankles. I mean, it's everything. It all goes into the factor of it. And what hopefully I'm doing a good enough job at painting this picture that the knees affect the entire body and the entire body affects the knees. So in order to get over what's going on with the knees, it's not just we need to take a microscope and zoom in on the knees. We need to both look at the knees in and of themselves and then zoom out and get a bigger bird's eye view of what's happening as well.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Bill. All right. Next question. Oh, Bill, thank you for your tips, and I will most certainly be trying them. But I was wondering if you could help me with a problem. I hurt my right knee about 7 months ago while playing soccer. I jumped up in the air and my leg landed straight. When I landed, I heard a popping noise. And when I got up, I got a movement like the bones rubbing together. My doctor told me it was torn ligaments, but after going through physio sessions and trying to get back to soccer, I'm still getting problems like a movement while playing. Then I get pain down the side of my knee and the inside of my leg beside the knee. I was never told the full extent of my injury, so I was wondering if you could help me. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, Paul, here's the deal. You got to ask your doctor. That's one of those things that I could guess. I can speculate as to what's going on in your knee. However, if your doctor took the pictures of what's going on in your knee, then he's going to be the one that's going to be able to give you the answer to it. If the ligaments are torn, yes, you're probably going to have problems going on with your knee, especially playing soccer and all the different movements you go into. However, this also ties into, and Michael, you remember last week when we were talking about how the body tenses up to protect itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't get injured further. So when you jump up in the air and you land with your leg straight and you have that popping noise, that's the nervous system responding to that threat, to that injury, to that experience. And that is functional for that injury. The way the body held on to tension so it wouldn't get injured further. However, it's dysfunctional for you to go back and walk without it feeling like the bones are rubbing. So part of that is creating that space through what I refer to as passive stretching exercises. That is engaging the nervous system in a way that allows it to unwind and let go of that tension so the bones don't rub anymore. It actually loosens up. The space is created in the joint itself, and then there's no rubbing. However, if ligaments are torn, then you're going to have to look at several factors. How old are you, and do you want to continue playing soccer? And if that's the case, then you look at surgery in that case. If you still want to continue having an active lifestyle, you have to kind of evaluate the pros and the cons as far as the surgery over letting go of playing soccer, so or being as active as you would like, or changing the types of activities that you're involved in. So that's one of those deals. It's difficult to answer Paul's question directly because I have no idea what happened with his ligaments either.
Right. Well, just from an athlete, and this might just be part of my ignorance, but I know I remember vividly in high school experiencing that popping sound one time, and probably everyone on my team has experienced it somewhere in their body. What is that popping sound? You know, I ended up going to the doctor after it happened, and, you know, there was nothing broken or anything. I think we just iced it and, you know, put an air cast on it or something along those lines. But what is that popping sound? Because it
– well, the popping sound can be a couple different things. The big pop that people most generally hear is one of the ligaments tearing. It's like been stretched to the extent that it just pops. You know, like you snap a twig. That's a pop that happens with the ligament. There's so much tension on the ligament that it just lets go. It can also be the bones slipping out of the meniscus, which is it looks like two octopus suction cups to the bone in your upper leg and two octopus suction cups to the bone in your lower leg. And when that slips out of the joint, there can be a tearing or popping kind of thing that happens as a result of the bone slipping out of those little pads that they're supposed to be floating in. So it's generally some sort of damage that's going on. It's not a good thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, thank you. We're going to move on to the next question. Hi, Bill. I just recently went to the doctor because of knee pain, and he said the doctor told me I had cartilage damage, and he gave me a prescription of glucosamine and suggested to use it for 1 year. However, I did not get any relief. What do I do from here? Thanks.
Got it. Okay. Well, here's the difference between understanding knee pain and understanding knee damage. Like, the knee could be damaged, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's in pain. And the knee could be in pain, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's damaged. Because there's people that walk around with torn meniscus, torn ligaments, and things like that in their knee, and it doesn't hurt. So the knee damage is to separate that from the knee pain, which is an interference on the nerves. So I don't necessarily know, and once again, the cartilage damage, and the cartilage is a covering on the bones. There are so many things that damage could mean. It could mean the cartilage is torn. It could be it's wearing away as a result of like an arthritic type of situation. It could be because of wearing, because that tensegrity structure that I was telling you has been compromised. And if I didn't go into enough detail on tensegrity structure, you could think of it like a bicycle wheel. You have the rim, you have the spokes, and then you have the center of it. And the strength of the wheel is not dictated by how strong the rim is, the spokes, and the center of the wheel. It's created by the tension between the rim and the center through the spokes. And with the right balance of tension, then the wheel works properly. If it's out of balance, well, then the wheel's going to wobble and you're going to have uneven wear, which consequently what happens with knees, why you'll see, you know, I only have pain on the inside of my knee, or I only have pain on the outside of my knee. It's because of that tensegrity structure not being lined up properly and the knee is not tracking correctly. So looking at just with the limited amount of information that we're given here, you need to look at water. You need to look at nutrition, which is the foundation. You got to get your water and your nutrition tweaked in. Make sure you're drinking enough water and make sure you're eating the right food that is going to set up the conditions so your body can heal what's going on. And then you need to look at exercise, stretching, and breathing. And that, of course, is the proper exercises to strengthen what's loose, the stretching, so you're loosening what's tight that's causing a dysfunction, causing the body not to be in alignment, and then breathing, which is looking at the tension in the nervous system that's causing the body to squeeze closer together, contributing to a dysfunction that's going on. So it's a comprehensive approach, and glucosamine is a great supplement that can help in terms of joint support. However, if it's not working, well, then that might not be what you need in order to get it helped.
Right. Well, you just answered one of the questions I had, which was going to be, what does the glucosamine do? What's it to be prescribed for? But the other, statement / question I would have for the individual that asked that question was, I would assume they don't say how long they've been taking the glucosamine. It just says, recently my doctor told me to start taking it, and I did, and I don't have any, I'm still having problems. I would assume that, the amount of, if you've been taking it for a couple of weeks as opposed to 3 months, may make a difference as well as some results you would see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, we're going
to
move on.
By the way, and for those who really want to go into details and really get some exact answers that can really support what's going on, I have several coaching programs that are in my Knee Pain Guru website that, depending on the level that you need support in, to be able to find, get those type of answers to figure that out, what works for you and specifically for your body, what specific exercises, what specific stretches, get your diet and water dialed in and see some amazing results. So that's always a solution.
All right. Thanks. We're going to move on to the next question, Bill. Hi, Bill. This is Lisa, and I wrote you a while ago about my knee when I fell in February of 2009. I asked you if my PCL could heal on its own. Well, I've been in rehab for almost a year, and my knee is worse. My doctor is talking about fitting me with a different brace, something like an uploader. I'm not real sure exactly. My shoulder is doing great now. I had my surgery and have already been released. It's my knee that's not doing so well. I'm 48 years old, a black belt in karate, and I love to dance, and I want to be able to do these things again. My problem is my knee. I had a second MRI, and it showed that the PCL is still a complete tear with arthritis setting in. What can I do? My knee pops in and out and is not stable. Any advice would be wonderful. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, Lisa. I don't remember offhand the answering this question last year. However, if a ligament is completely torn, there's a really, I'm going to say, 99.9% chance that it's not going to heal. Because if it's completely torn, it's no longer connected. And I'm actually working on getting an interview with a doctor who has suggested prolotherapy, which is injecting like a saline solution that they've seen some amazing results in terms of getting ligaments to regenerate themselves. However, I don't know enough about that to talk educatedly and give you that. That may be something you can look into. However, the knee is popping in and out and is not stable because the ligament isn't there to hold it in place, because the ligaments connect bone to bone and tendons connect muscle to bone. So if your ligament is not there, there's no support for the bones to be held in place. So, there's a couple things. One is there's surgery. You could look into surgery as far as repairing the PCL. If it was a partial tear in the PCL, then there's a chance that the ligament can heal itself. However, with a complete tear, that's not so much of a chance. And once again, they're doing some amazing things with prolotherapy. I would go check out anybody, see who's practicing prolotherapy in your area, and that may be something to look into. However, that is the knee damage. That's not necessarily addressing the knee pain. So looking at the rehab you're doing, I'm not sure. There's no information here. So you're really going to have to get back to be active again. That's where it's important to have all of the ligaments holding in the proper fashion. And when they're talking about, the arthritis setting in, once again, you're looking at that tensegrity structure being compromised. The knee is not tracking properly, so it needs to compensate a certain way, which begins to wear away at the meniscus, which begins to wear away at the cartilage, and now that squeezes out the because the body is protecting itself, it's squeezing tighter in that area. The nervous system is squeezing so tight that the blood and the oxygen can't get in there to heal what's going on in your knees. And that is even if you're drinking enough water and even if you're eating the proper diet. So once again, from my approach, from my perspective, we need to look at it comprehensively as to what's going on. So that's what I can give you as far as a perspective.
Sure. I guess the downside would be the surgery, so to speak. But looking on the side, you went through the exact same thing with surgery, and now you pretty much function and still continue your martial arts pain-free, correct?
Yes, I do. The ligament, it's a different ligament. However, it's the same principle. And there's lots of people who have gone through. I mean, there's some statistics that I've seen. There's over 500,000 knee surgeries in the United States alone every year. And, of course, those are all over the board. Those are knee replacement surgeries. Those are ligament reconstructions. Those are arthroscopies. So they range from being extremely severe knee surgeries to minor outpatient type of deals. However, that's still a lot of surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
And people come out of those. Some come out of them with flying colors, and the other people are still in pain like over a decade after they've had the surgery. There's a buddy of mine that he had ACL surgery, I think 4 or 5 years before I did. And he was telling me how it was going to be afterwards. And it's now 10, 11 years after my surgery, and he's going on 15, 16 years that he has his surgery, and he still has problems with his knee. Of course, there's that whole adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, and that kind of thing. So,
right.
Anyways.
All right, thanks. Next question. Hello, I fell on my right knee last August, and my knee is killing me and has not stopped hurting since my fall. I had an MRI, X-ray, etc., and nothing shows at all. Is it possible that you can have surgical problems and it not show on the X-ray? They want to do arthroscopic surgery to see what's causing the pain. When I bend my knee, it hurts, and I can't go upstairs in agony now. My sciatica is bad. What should I do?
It's a sciatica.
Pardon?
The sciatica.
Yes. Been to 3 orthopedic surgeons, and I can't exercise as it hurts too much. I'm pretty much in pain 24/7. Please help me. I am desperate. I go to work and I'm home in bed icing all night and weekends, and I can't live like this anymore. The outside of my knee hurts, also inside and above the knee, all around. Why wouldn't an MRI show something? Thanks, Chris.
Well, in this, once again, this is differentiating between knee damage and knee pain. There's no knee damage, yet you're still experiencing knee pain. And in essence, what, and this is important to understand the limitations of what doctors are able to do. What essentially is pain? It's a feeling, right? You feel pain. So you're asking a machine to give you a picture of a feeling. And the machine can't do that. It can give you can give pictures of the damage that's in there, absolutely. So understanding this goes back to the nervous system holding tension to protect itself. When you fall on your knee, the body goes, you know, it tenses up, it tightens up, that you falling on your knee hurts. So the body tenses up, protects itself from being injured further. It's functional for the injury. It's dysfunctional for you to go back into your life and walk around without the pain and function. And going back on this, the right knee, I'm going to bet the sciatica is going to be bad on the left side, because that's how the body has to compensate. The left or the right knee hurts, so the right hip pulls up, and it has to shift the weight over to the left hip and the left part of the back. So it causes an impingement on the nerve that's going down into the left leg. So it's just a big part of a tension pattern that's going on as a result of the knee, as the result of the body compensating for the knee injury. And once again, it's the same thing. You're looking at, get the water right, get the diet right, so the body can begin to heal itself, optimize the body's ability to repair what the damage is, and then look at the tension patterns. Usually when there's something hurting that bad, we need to look at stretching first. We need to look at creating that space to take the pressure off of the nerves that are causing the pain. Because when you really look at pain, that feeling we were talking about a little bit ago, you're looking at nerves being squeezed on. And by creating that space, you take the pressure off of that nerve, and then the nerve doesn't bother you. So I honestly don't believe that doing an arthroscopic surgery is going to really give you any better insight as to what's going on in your knees if you can't see anything on an MRI x-ray. So I'd suggest, if you definitely get my book, that can look into it. What would really be helpful is the virtual clinic in my Knee Pain Guru site, where I go into I have an entire section on what I refer to as passive stretching. And the whole idea with that is to create comfort in what's going on in the knee. And by creating comfort, the nervous system responds and creates more space, taking the pressure off of what's going on. And then you re-educate your body, your knee, to understand what comfort is. And the more comfortable your knee is, the less it's going to be holding on to a dysfunctional tension pattern that's going to cause pain. So it all depends on what we focus on.
All right. Believe it or not, I don't have any questions after that. made perfect sense. Okay. We're going to move on to the next question, Bill. Dear Bill, for the past 2 years, I've been suffering from osteoarthritis, knee pain, and I am 63 years old. My doctors prescribed me 20 milligram Otec, which is a painkiller, one time daily after lunch, and then a Dal-C capsule, calcium, one capsule daily after breakfast. Those medicines only control my pain, as I'm able to walk with the help of a cane. My doctor says the only option left is knee surgery, which is quite expensive. Please suggest what I should do as I'm retired from my job. Thank you, Anwar.
Okay. Well, the painkiller, once again, it's really only going to put a Band-Aid on it. Obviously, it's not getting better. It's been 2 years, and my guess it's been going on a lot longer than that, because these are patterns that we only become aware of once it's already hit a critical mass, once it's hit a place where we're experiencing pain that we can't ignore anymore, because our body has this unique ability when it experiences pain to kind of block it out. It's like, oh, I don't have time for that. Oh, I got to take care of the kids. Oh, I got to go to school. I got to go to work. I got to, you know, do this or do that. So we ignore what's happening with our body, and we don't tend to do things that allow our body to listen to what our body needs and then give it to our body. So sometimes it needs rest. Sometimes it needs, better food, whatever it is. And here's the same thing. And when your doctor says the only option left is knee surgery, well, that's kind of like asking a military general what's the solution for going into a country. It's like they're only going to come from a military approach as to how the solution is for going into that country. And if you have knee pain, a doctor is going to only have pretty much three solutions for what's going on with your knees. One is give you drugs, which they're already doing. That's not working. The next would be pain-killing shots, which is, you know, your cortisone shots, the numbing agents that they would inject directly into the knee. And the last one is surgery. And that's the only solutions that they have. So that's really the only option in their paradigm that they understand to be able to help you with. And from a job security standpoint, that's what I would, you know, that's what they have as far as solutions. Looking at a comprehensive approach, I'd look at your diet. I'd look at your water. Let's narrow that down. Let's figure out what's going on with that. Let's get that straight. And when we talked to Pauline earlier in the call about the diet, I would definitely check out that book, The Paleo Diet, because that can help with a lot of the acidic state that is created in the body as a result of a diet high in grains and dairy, and get that tweaked out so the body is functioning properly, and then look at the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing, and figure out how to bring the body back into balance so the bones in the leg track properly and create the space so it stops the wearing away and then flushing out and repair what's going on as far as in the meniscus and the cartilage. So the answers end up being pretty much the same as far as looking at it comprehensively of what's going on. So,
and correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, but I believe when you were talking to Pauline earlier, you said on your website, thekneepainguru.com, you have a link to that book about the paleo diet, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
It's on your way.
I thought you had said that, and I just wanted to make sure that this individual knew that they could go to the website and find the link to that book as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And my standpoint, just from listening to you and reading the book and whatnot, you know, I understand pain medication is a necessity at some point, you know, when the pain's just intolerable. But you made the statement that getting the pain shots and taking the pain medication is really you're just putting a Band-Aid, you know, on the problem. But and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I would assume that it's almost detrimental to what's going on because, A, it's not fixing or helping the problem at all. It's helping with the pain, but you're almost compounding and causing a snowball effect with the possible damage that's done if you know, surgery or the proper exercises, water, nutrition aren't being handled up front.
Right. I mean, if you get – like when I first had – my knee injury, actually the knee surgery, they put me on Percocet, which is a pretty strong painkiller. Unfortunately, the painkiller made me sick. So it was a choice of dealing with the pain or spending the rest of my time leaning over a bucket or the toilet vomiting because my body couldn't handle it. So the painkillers weren't even an option for me. And if you do take the painkillers longer than a week, a couple weeks, which is going to get you through that initial stage of the real intense pain, then it becomes a crutch. Now you're not dealing with the issue. You're just masking the symptoms. So it's important when...
And building a tolerance also. And having to take more.
You're probably, yes, if your body has the ability to build a tolerance to the painkillers, yes, absolutely. You're still not addressing the underlying issue, and it makes it worse because now you can't feel, you feel less. So you can injure your knee even more, or you injure other parts of your body because you aren't even aware of what's happening. Some people, that's their solution, and that's fine. However, from the context of where I'm coming from, that's not a viable solution for me.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. We'll move on to the next question. Dear Bill, thank you very much for writing me and inquiring about my knee pain. I'm much better now. And according to your suggestion, I try to take a lot of water every day. And by the grace of the Almighty, I'm fine with my knee that had been operated on. However, if I walk for a long period of time or if I'm climbing stairs, I sometimes feel pain on my right knee, which is the knee that I did not have surgery on. I would appreciate it if you would please let me know the ways and means to keep my right knee feeling fine. Someone said, if anyone has knee operation on one knee, then he or she has to go through operation on the other knee, obviously. Is that true? Please give me some knowledge about this. Thanks, Kyle.
Okay. No, I don't believe that's true. And once again, when you have – I've seen this happen. I've worked with clients that have had the knee replacement on their one knee, and then a few years later, they end up having a knee replacement on the other knee. And why does that happen? Because the body's compensating for the first knee. The original issue never got addressed. So now we replace it with something mechanical that you can't feel what's going on in the knee now because it's an artificial knee, and the body has to compensate for it in another way. Once again, the tension... the left knee was operated on, so the left hip pulled up, all the tension shifted over to the right, into the right hip, the right side of the lower back, and now there's more pounding taking place on the right knee. Because now instead of it being a 50-50 split with the tension balance in the legs being equal, now it could be 60-40, 70-30, so that right leg is pounding more and more. It's taking the brunt of the weight, so to speak, of the body. So that's consequently what happens. So by addressing the tension patterns, we go back to the security structure that I was talking about before, like the bicycle wheel. We got to bring the body back into balance so it pulls properly, strengthen the tendons and ligaments in the joints, so now the body is moving smoothly and freely. So, and of course, we have to stretch, we have to breathe, we have to get the water right, water and the food right.
Yeah, it seems very consistent with what I think you kind of answered a similar scenario last week with the question, and I'm sure there are many that are very similar.
Mm-hmm. When Michael, when you get a – you look for the universal thread that's going to shine through in all the situations, and the universal thread is the water and the food are the fuel that our body needs in order to function. So if we don't have that right, then the body can't heal itself. That's the very foundation. That's a universal thread. All people drink water and eat food to some degree. It'll vary as far as the foods, and you're also going to see it varying as far as the speed at which the body is able to heal itself. So let's get that optimized. It's like putting the right fuel in a vehicle. If you have a gasoline engine and you put diesel fuel in it, it's not going to work. And vice versa. If you have a diesel truck and you put gasoline in it, it's not going to work right. And it's the same thing with our bodies. If you're putting foods that are highly preserved with lots of preservatives, lots of additives, dyes, colors, stuff that's been scientifically created that from a genetic standpoint, from a biological standpoint, the body doesn't know what to do with, it's really going to kind of gum up the system. So getting that right, that's a universal principle, water and food. And then the next piece is we have to breathe, so let's breathe properly. Let's get the body to relax through the breath, create more space in the structure. Stretch to get the space in the joint to cause it to track correctly, and then strengthen the tendons and ligaments properly once you've created that space. So now the body can function as it's supposed to. And everyone is pretty much made the same. Some may be taller, some may be shorter, some may be younger, some may be older, but we're pretty much the same.
Okay, yeah, same universal. There's the universal thread again. Okay, we're going to move on to the next question, Bill. This next one is from Matt. Matt asks, Dear Knee Pain Guru, I've been suffering from hamstring tendonitis and medial gastrocnemius tendonitis for the past 3 months, and I could not bear the pain anymore and the handicap of not being able to walk even a few steps over the last month. Yesterday, I eventually took steroid injections for my knee, and the pain is still there, about 30%, hoping that the tearing pain would subside within the week's time completely. Kindly advise me what I need to do further. Regards, Matt.
Okay. Well, Matt, once again, the hamstring tendonitis and the gastrocnemius tendonitis.
Okay.
That happens. That pain that happens, that tearing, that feeling of the burning and the tearing happens as a result of the nervous system holding onto a tension pattern that's causing it to be stretched more. and it causes irritation and inflammation in those muscles or in those tendons or in the ligaments or wherever that tension pattern is. So the whole piece is to create the space, get the body back into alignment, allow the nervous system to let go of the tension that it's holding on to, and the body will begin to correct itself. Once you get the body back into alignment, make sure you got the water and the food right, and it's going to, your body knows what to do. It knows how to digest food. It knows how to process water. It knows how to breathe. It knows how to pump blood. It knows how to do all of those things. It just needs the opportunity to do so. And all we need to do is create the conditions that will allow the body to do that. And by using it, primarily what I see is you need to focus on creating comfort in the areas that you're having pain. And my guess is there's lots of stuff going on in the knee and there's lots of stuff going on in the pelvis that is causing a tension pattern that makes it tight in your hamstrings and tight in the other tendons. So creating comfort, the nervous system engages, switches over from that fight, flight, or freeze to the rest and relax, and then the body does the rest. So what should you do further? Make sure you get into my virtual clinic. And right now, if you get a copy of my book, you get 1 month of the virtual clinic for free.
Right. Okay. That kind of leads us into to the next one. This individual, Frank, he purchased your ebook on the above subject and studied the book, but has the following questions. One, whether these exercises are useful for knee pain due to arthritis. And secondly, in case of continuous pain, whether the painkillers should be used. And lastly, how many times a day should these exercises be done? Best regards.
Okay. As far as the times a day, I wouldn't do the exercises more than twice. I think twice is plenty, and you really don't have to do them all that long because the exercises are really focused and really intense. You're not doing a lot of reps. You're doing really focused, intense. You're doing the exercise for a period of time, be it a minute or 2 minutes. And when you have the knees fully loaded and you're really focusing on building the tendon strength, which is apples and oranges different than muscular strength, it really fatigues the knee joint. So you really only need to do it once or twice a day and for a short period of time. There's clients that I work with that I only give them an exercise to do for 1 minute in the morning and 1 minute in the evening. That's it, like a timed minute. And the exercises are significantly intense that if you do the exercise properly, and you make sure you do it with breathing, that 1 minute is plenty, and that the legs will start shaking and the body will start shaking and sweating, and you need to focus on your breathing in order to get the most benefit out of the exercise. However, in doing it for that focused, correct minute, you're done. So that's something to look at. And in the case of continuous pain, whether the painkiller should be used, there's something that's not being looked at because the pain should begin to reduce if you're doing things properly. If you're, once again, I use the example of the safe to a bank, that you need the proper combination in order for the safe to open, and it's the same thing for your knees to get out of knee pain. You need to look at all of those five factors, the water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. And if one of those factors aren't being looked at, then you can still have pain. So the painkillers, once again, are only masking what's going on, and we already talked about that a little bit earlier, one of the other questions. And, yes, I do believe the exercises are useful for those experiencing arthritis. A lot of times, arthritis, I believe, can be caused by a lot of different factors. One of the things that I've really seen is when you see an arthritic joint in an MRI, it looks like there's battery acid in there. It looks like the joint is being eaten away. Well, why would that happen? And if you zoom out and you think about it, because the acidic state that's created in the body as a result of not enough water or improper diet. And once you get the diet and the water correct, you could still have issues with arthritis because the body can still be holding on to a tension pattern to protect itself from getting injured further. So even if you do have enough water and the proper nutrition, the knee joint can still be holding too tight for the blood and the oxygen to get in there to heal what's going on in the knees. So then you need to create the space in the knee joint in order for the knee to be able to heal itself. So that's my approach as far as what you're looking at.
Right. And then just from what Frank had said, you know, he's already purchased the ebook, and I would hope and that he went on and used the privilege of, you know, having the virtual clinic of yours free for the first month, to go on more into this and to take care of his problem, like you said to Matt in the prior question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you didn't or you didn't know about the virtual clinic or missed it somehow, if you do have the ebook, just shoot me an email at bill@thekneepainguru.com, and we'll get you set up with that free. We'll send you a link to be able to get your first month free in the virtual clinic, because the virtual clinic's only been up a couple months now, and we've been selling the ebook for quite a while longer.
All right. Sounds kind of the same for Matt from the prior question. You know, go ahead, get the ebook, and then, opt on in and hop on that free, take full advantage of that free knee pain clinic that you offer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would help as well. All right, Bill, well, that's all the questions we have for this session. As always, we thank you for your insight, time, and expertise, and I'm sure along with myself, we all look forward to the next session.
Cool. Thank you, Michael. I'll see you next week.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.